There's moments in your life and in your career that lead to bigger moments, and I think that this is one I'm in the middle of. I'm happy, elated to be talking to Miss Kalita Smith. Listen. Let me tell you something. This is the only actress I know that already had NAACP awards before beginning her acting career on camera.
This is true.
Like, nigga, how does this happen?
Unemployment.
How's that the answer? What do you mean?
That's unemployment because it's in the theater.
So you did theater where?
I did theater wherever they would have me.
But where did you start? You were in Oakland?
I started in Oakland.
Okay.
And then I did a play that traveled, which I thought was a great idea. Mm-hmm. And this was in the beginning.
Let me move this. Don't get mad at me.
No, I'm not going to get mad at you, but this is very threatening.
He's rubbing it real phallic-like.
Listen, look at it.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes. No.
You so silly. real talk. I started with a play that traveled, and this was in the 1900s when we were doing what was considered Chitlin' Circuit.
Okay.
And we were one of the first plays to kind of, after Beauty Shop and all that, Shelley Garrett shows. And they proved to be very successful. We did, you know, theater houses that were like 5,200 people.
Get out of here.
Listen, when I first heard 5,200 people laugh, that was infectious. Like, to the point to where I was like, give me all of the jokes. Huh. Yeah, oh my God. It just fed me in such a way where I was like, oh, this is it. And I was fired from like four jobs right before that, and walked away from a relationship, and it was just like, oh, I found my place.
So unemployment led to that. I see what you're saying. It made the vacancy for theater.
Yeah, and also theater is what you do when you're unemployed from television and film.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, well, now you do. If you can't find me, boo-boo, that's where I'm at.
I'll be in the theater, huh? Catch me live, huh? Well, I'll jump forward and then jump back because you mentioned laughter being infectious, right?
Yeah.
And as a stand-up comic, I am for sure addicted to getting laughs.
Yeah, you are.
Are you going to do stand-up?
I have no choice.
At all?
At this point, you know.
So, do you got it in the bag or you need some help or what?
Both. I have a bag and I need help with some other bags.
Okay.
Great. Carry my bags.
That'd be great. I will offer.
What? Boy, don't. Nigga.
I'll offer.
And we both got on fatigue.
Nigga, one of my skill sets.
Somebody's Marine, somebody Army.
One of my skill sets
or
is.
Or someone's Kmart and the others. Walmart.
Yours is standard issue. That shit has been actually in a war. There's a bullet hole
you
on the city right
you
there.
You can smell me.
It's an active duty uniform. I want to say that shit came with two bullets in the pocket, but I didn't say. Anyway, so. Yeah, I can help. Where I can, you know what I mean?
No, I've
helped
a
few people. I don't be blasting who all everybody is, but I can help. Like, if we're talking about getting you 5, 10, or 15 minutes going, yeah, I can help.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it's been looming for a while. And there's this trepidation that I have, and I'm not sure why.
That's the word of the day. Keep going.
Is that the word of the day?
Trepidation.
Great. Don't Indeed. Ask me to spell it.
Mm-mm, no.
Yeah, great. And I don't know why. I am a fan of such renowned comedians like George Carlin, yourself, Dave Chappelle. You know,
hold
yourself,
on.
Nick.
That. No, but I appreciate it, but no, goddamn, Carlin, then me, then Chappelle?
Well, I'm going to put that in there because I really believe
in no particular
that,
order, please.
No, it's no particular order. It has everything to do with the ability to be able to have a conversation and allow it to be funny as opposed to stand up, joke. Like, I really like people who can tell stories, you know, have a conversation standing up as opposed to, and that's what I really want to do.
Right.
I don't want to do stand up.
Right.
I want to have a conversation standing up.
Right.
Yeah, and Bernie was one of the first people who kind of caught that, and so was Don Rickles. And I think at the time I was really just flattered that, oh, you guys are amazing. You guys are saying this, and that's just, okay, so let me just be an actress who can be funny as opposed to really pursuing it and allowing it to be a flourishing thing where it allows me to provide jobs for us and other people.
That's real. I think it's low-hanging fruit for you because you're such a polarizing personality.
That's a nice word.
You already tell crazy-ass stories. It's just about translating it so that the masses can get it the way you say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the way you say it.
Yeah, it's the way you say it, you know. Yeah. And so Rickles told you you're funny, you should do stand-up.
Yeah, he told me I should go to Vegas right now. I think maybe he was telling me, like, quit my job. But, totally. He was one of those people. He came to the set, and he would terrorize people, and that was his way to enjoy himself and also to put himself in a position to where he's revered.
Huh.
And it was a couple people that I saw the look on their faces, and so I flipped his joke on an axis to where it made him laugh. And then he said, "Whoa, you got timing, Vanda, you got timing." I said, first of all, the V is silent. And
hilarious.
Character name is Wanda.
Right. Vanda.
Vanda, you got timing. Yeah, so.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So I think if you do it, right, like you should moonlight it.
What's moonlighting?
Moonlighting is where you do, you have other priorities.
Oh.
And then the stand-up is something you sprinkle in it.
Yeah.
And if you do it that way, then it'll make more sense because you're wildly busy. And the concept of being like, stop other stuff to pursue this is never going to be accepted well by somebody who's a grinding entrepreneur. You know what I mean?
And rent.
That part. Right. But you'd be into the money pretty quick because there's a need, and it's about supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
So there's a need for funny black women. Mm-hmm. And so no matter how many people are out here out here working, you stand out right away because there's less of y'all. And y'all are that's the most in high demand. Right? And it's crazy because.
But clever conversations, you know, not.
We'll get
just,
you to where it's clever because you clever. You said trepidation, nigga. We'll be fine.
Okay. You said polarizing. That was nice.
You like that?
Yeah, I
think trepidation still wins. Good God. That's like 42 letters.
Just a couple of more.
I'm going to call it Keela and see.
That's all.
So,
Alexa?
What are you doing when you're not grinding? Like, I know you to be somebody who's always on it. Up, Adam, gone, get it, got, boom, boom. This person called, that phone, stay ringing, on buzz, on ring. But when that slows down, not for lack of work, but because you're like, a bitch need a vacation. Like,
and
what
I didn't
do you
marry
do?
Well, so I'm sleeping.
That's it. Rest or grind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so the last project you just came off of was what?
What was it? I'm working on a show called In the Cut, Bounce TV. Currently, we're in our seventh season. The last show probably was I did a film called Influence with Carl Weber and Tri Destin, and they're doing it at BET and Z Nation.
Z Nation, wasn't it?
5 years.
5 years.
5 years, Z Nation, 5 years on Sci-Fi.
And that's the one that had you living up.
In Spokane. In Washington, where you are famous and plastered, they got wallpaper to show face on you.
What you mean?
Listen, I was
Let me say this. As an alumni
isn't this
of
White
Eastern
Hotel? This is Batman Jackson on the
walls. So a few years ago, my alumnus, Eastern Washington University, they do this magazine every month or whatever, and they put me on the front of it just to say, like,
did they put you on the front?
Yeah,
he
but
was on
then,
porches.
Which is fine, but then I didn't realize that the distribution was as strong as it was to where, like, there was a rack in the Spokane airport that was like 9 of them wide and 10 of them high. So it was like 90 magazines. So you walk in and you just see 90 of my face.
I was like, this nigga running for president? Yes, nigga. Do it. And I was like, I know this guy. No, it was great. It was great to see. You know, it wasn't just in the airport. You were actually plastered like you were on porches.
What?
I'm serious.
That's
it was like,
crazy.
Is this a censorship? What's happening?
That's crazy.
No, so, it's great.
So now I tip back, right? And I want.
So are you doing anything up there? Is that why they had you?
No.
Oh.
I just went to school there. I went to school in Eastern Washington, but I'm, you know, from Western Washington. And so in Western Washington, I'm opening a comedy club. And so that opens in like April.
Okay, there it is.
But people don't get to that. I keep saying this, but like I feel like people don't understand the volume and the sheer audacity of it, really, because comics open clubs and, you know, it'd be like a little nook or it'd be like something, you know, comics like I'm opening a club and it'd be like 80 seats, 100 seats. Like it's just something that they want to work their stuff out at. Well, I have business partners and this is a $1 million club. It's 340 seats. sitting right on I-5. Like, it's comparable to like one of the bigger improvs.
Oh.
And so when I say I'm opening a club, people going in the coming months, people going to start to be like, wait a minute.
But for now, you're doing a concert.
For now, they're like, oh, yeah, he's just doing a little. Yeah, but yeah. When this gets going.
Oh, nice.
It's going to make some serious noise.
Nice.
And so we'll have you up.
Okay.
Yeah, don't say okay with less confidence than the other stuff. I want to have you up.
But be a coach.
Just come host. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would
that's
love
all you're saying. What's up, listen. Motherfuckers? You don't even got to be talking about shit. Just tell a story from that day. God damn, there's a lot of white people here. That shit kills.
They, okay.
We'll get you right.
Okay. No,
we'll
get you right. I'm in.
Shit, you saw it.
I'm in.
So I like to go with my questions. I like to go shallow, deep. But I think we're just going to go
deep.
Yeah, because I want my viewers, like, they tune into the show to see different aspects of the same people that they already feel like they know.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, I know in order to be an actor or an actress or somebody in this industry, we're literally entrepreneurs, right? We're all 1099 hustlers. And in order to be successful in the city, to last more than 2 or 3 years and to keep that cycle of success and things going, you have to actually be a genius. And I've seen you create genius. You brought me in talking about this other show we were going to do that may or may not happen, but it is what it is. That's just the way the game is. You put the energy out.
Yeah.
And the universe rewards what you put it into.
Yeah.
So I want to get at that genius. I want to know when you first found out and how that you were talented. Like you were a little girl, and who was calling you into the living room? Like, what happened?
No, it didn't start that way.
Okay.
No, just got fired from 4 9-to-5 jobs and realized that it had to be something different. I grew up with a gentleman who is a Hall of Famer in the NBA, and what he showed me in our relationship was how to believe in your dream.
This is Gary Payton? Oakland?
To commercial?
Cheap P, that's my guy.
Yeah. And so what I took away from that relationship was how to believe in your dream and how to be disciplined, how to commit, how to find the fortitude to look for and feel what it feels like to be passionate.
Wait, say that again.
I can't.
How to know what to look for when it feels
How to feel
mm-hmm.
and know what it is you're looking for, which feels like passion.
Ooh.
And passion is a very strong force, because what it will do is it will change what people will see as sacrifice, as this is just something I have to do.
Mm.
Like, so I think what to go back to your conversation is the things that we come up with that seems to be ingenuitous or seems to be smart or brilliant are just those things that come to us because we've allowed ourselves the fortitude to be open to receiving those ideas that happen to be brilliant.
Yeah, and a lot comes from circumstance.
Yeah.
You're like, I need an idea now.
Ta-da.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what would you say?
Yeah, that got deep. Did that get deep?
That's what I want. That's what they need. They need to be like, hold up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they don't understand. A lot of times, in my opinion, like an actress like yourself, you get sides to prepare. Or
and that's
a role.
It sometimes.
Right. But you'll get a role and you're reading it like, I'm going to act like this person. You know what I mean? Versus like who you are to even be able to capture that and act like that person is intellectually above the person you're acting like. Does that make sense? So you never get a chance to really reveal your genius. I to give you an example.
Okay.
Nigga, Terrence Howard. What? Have you been keeping up with this shit? Terrence Howard came out on a red carpet and people thought he was out of his mind.
Why?
He was like, I went to the vestibules of the universe and I found out that the universe has shapes and there's translucence and there's rhombuses and I found out the meaning to life. And people like posted that all over nigga Twitter and were like, he's lost his mind.
No, he just read
Where is Hustle and Flow 2? Like, this
he
is what they was all.
He just read the secret, that's all.
Well, then I saw a whole nother thing. It was a podcast or a TV show or something where somebody really was like, bro, what were you talking about?
Yeah.
This dude sat for an hour and broke down astrophysics and what it means to life for humans, and he really may have figured the shit out.
No, it's so here's the other thing. I think what we are What we're capable of as artists is to allow our imagination to absolutely speak to us. And what that means is what we have available to us is a lot of what is Eastern philosophy, right? So we have meditation, we have yoga, we have astrophysics, we have so many other dynamics and other planes.
Kama Sutra. Really... Go ahead.
There's that.
Okay.
Listen, I had to lean in to the to the mic. There's that. and when we are allowing ourselves to bend in our mind and our personality, we open up the scope to be able to understand and perceive all that what this is about. The universe is vast. God is amazing and humongous.
Right.
What happens is religion makes us small.
Mm.
Yeah. Even in the Bible, they tell you don't astrology is negative. How is that negative? The stars is right there. We can't incorporate all that. Other civilizations did. The Mayans created the Moors, calendar.
The Egyptians.
Man. And those are one of the eighth wonders of the world. And how are we to be small and to negate any of those things? He probably didn't explain it well because he's on the red carpet and it's quick and it's fast.
Right, which is why I went back and looked deeper and I was like, whoa.
Shot. And maybe he had a tequila shot.
When he took his time and explained it, he had like nerdy, chubby white dudes like, what?
Yeah, well.
Everybody was on their heels.
They said Shirley MacLaine was crazy.
Did they?
Yeah, they said she was crazy. When she started meditating, she started having labyrinths. She went to New Mexico to be able to center herself and all these things. But this, you have to grow to those places, and those places absolutely allow you to become a bigger, better, vaster, more brilliant artist.
Hmm. Well, I'll go back some. Well, I'll say this, then I'll go back some. But so I trained at several different acting schools, but the one that I was the most fond of was Leslie Kahn Acting Institute, and I liked it a lot because in like the second week of comedy intensive, there's no acting, there's no size, there's no scripts. She literally is making everybody figure out what activities they get into their right brain the most so they can then be and they're creative them. Now I want to go back to what you just said, right? Like you dropped a dime and you said if you allow yourself to bend, all that can happen. When you say bend, like, because to me, that's the catalyst of the whole thing. If you allow this, then blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So let's talk about that moment, that catalyst of the bending. Now, is that like a bend before you break, or is that just a be malleable?
Yeah.
And in what
nice
way?
Word. Yeah. To just allow yourself to not be right. Allow yourself not to know.
Hmm.
And that's a lot, because most people want to know. They want to be right. They want to, and that's ego. But if you allow yourself the comfort of what it means to not be the smartest one in the room, because actually the quietest one is the smartest one because you're listening.
Hmm. That can help you bend. I think that's the hardest part for people.
That is a bending. That's a bending.
So for you particularly, what would you say was, I don't want to call it a bending moment, but what would you say was a different catalyst where you're like, let me receive?
I think becoming an actor.
Okay.
Becoming an artist. Because the way I grew up in the Bay Area, and it's about character development. It's about academics. It's about, corporate. I wanted to be a lawyer.
Mm.
I'm a child of the Black Panther Party. So it was really about my community, my culture, moving us forward as a civilization, as a society. And for me to be an artist, I realized what it did was it allowed me to resonate on a more feeling.
Right.
On a more feeling level to be able to be that impactful for my culture, for my people, for myself.
Right. Now, I saw you on a red carpet giving an interview with, it just looked like a random white lady, but she asked you a question and it led into, you showed them a spark where you talked about Black excellence. You were at the Trumpet Awards and why you were there and who you were there to support and why it was important.
Okay.
And then you also just, during this interview, made reference to your own successes, not just helping yourself, but to create opportunities and endeavors for others.
Yes.
And so, what I didn't know was that you were a child of the Black Panther movement.
Yeah.
Do you think that inclusion and wokeness comes from that rearing?
Sure.
Then, like, tell me about that experience, because it's got to be, this is rarefied air that I'm breathing. I'm sitting with somebody who was raised by the Black Panther movement.
Yeah.
Like, what? How?
Well, there's a documentary where I was 8 years old where I interviewed Huey P. Newton.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We just got deep, nigga. Listen, I think I need a shot.
Huey P. Newton.
Yeah.
You don't need no damn shot. You need a platform. Yeah. You need a soapbox.
Listen, correct.
Eight years old and met Huey P. Newton.
Yeah, not even met. Going to the school, we always, he would always come around.
What do you mean going to the school?
I went to the school founded by the Black Panther Party, my elementary school.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So you packed grocery bags for the community? I have an affinity for the Black Panther movement.
As you should. And it's misunderstood often because it's projected as if it was so militant to where it was just about guns and being able to be
But it wasn't. That's just the FBI COINTELPRO on them.
Exactly.
Y'all should. Yeah, if you hear that, if you hear the three words Black Panther Party and you have a negative connotation, you should realign yourself with truth.
The truth.
Do some research. Yeah. Go back and see really what it was about.
Or not even do any research. I'll tell you how it really all started was the fact that there was police brutality.
Yep.
And what they were doing was the police were going around in the neighborhoods and they were pulling black men over in their cars. Mm-hmm. And what they would do is they would assault them.
Sounds
like every year.
Exactly.
And so basically what these gentlemen decided to do was they decided to align themselves together. They came together unlike a gang, but more like a guardian angel.
Okay.
And what they did was they would follow behind certain brothers who would get pulled over to make sure it would be legitimate.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
That's how it all really started.
So they were being, like you're saying, guardian angel, big brother. We're watching y'all while y'all, we're watching how you police us.
My brother's keeper really stemmed from that type of activity. Like, so for me, when it comes to conversations about certain gangs or certain fraternities, I'm a little confused because I'm not sure what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I came from an environment and I came from an activity that really spoke to protecting one another.
Outstanding.
Yeah, not hurting each other.
Now, I had a situation where I was pulled over recently, and I don't get pulled over a lot because I was in Washington State, and the car I drive in Washington is the wrapped one. So my face is on it on all around the car. Like, it's like a wrapper.
No wonder you were on the magazine.
Right. my face
the wallpaper.
Is on everywhere. And that's why I'm okay with it. I'm like, think that's crazy. I drive that. Yeah, so it's like my face is all over the back window, the six sides of the car. It says NateJacksonComedy.com, all of that, right? Like, it's the massive self-promotion. And so I got pulled over. And I wasn't speeding. I was like, the dude really kind of seemed like he was low-key curious to see, like, well, who's in this goddamn car? Yeah. I keep seeing going up and down the highway. Because it hasn't been in Washington. It's been in L.A. for 10 years.
Oh,
so I just brought it to Washington. It's been there for 2 months. And so I get pulled over. I had just left a meeting with my squad, right? We were all going in the same direction. So when I got pulled over, somebody stopped about 200 yards ahead and was like, all right. And then another one, the homie, stopped back and called me while the cop was in my window on speaker, like, you good?
Yeah.
And it affected how the ticket went.
Exactly.
To where he was literally like, you just be cool
someone's
out here.
Watching.
Yeah, because you know no one's watching. When no one's policing the police, they do whatever the hell they want to say because they can write the story.
Yeah.
But he knew for a fact, fuck a dash cam, he had 1, 2, 3 eyes.
Too many eyes.
Whatever was about to happen or whatever. And I'm not going to say he had malicious intent, but it went from, you know, you was going 77 and changing lanes with no signals to, you just drive safe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, he literally was like, give me the information so I can go get the paperwork started. I was like, we're starting paperwork? Because I wasn't speeding or nothing.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Then he comes back after the phone call and all that, and he was like, you be blessed.
Yeah.
I'm like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's one of the challenges about why I'm challenged about, you know, being married, because I saw men that really cared about their culture. They cared about the women and the children of their culture, not to make it a black thing and versus other races.
It is. We didn't make it a black thing. They did.
Yeah. Well, but
what you mean? They snatched us, brought us here, and said y'all are black.
Not even that. You are enforced immigrants.
There you go.
It's missed in our generation right now.
Yeah, like, but you just made reference to being pressed about a husband And those examples supersede yeah. what you're seeing now. So basically, yeah. you were raised amongst kings. And now,
like my these niggas just says, ain't shit.
You got a shirt on that says king?
My t-shirt says, I'm only attracted to kings.
I'm only attracted to kings.
Yes.
Yeah, but you got to say what the kingdom is. Some of these niggas is the king of one nightclub. That is his whole situation.
That can't be a kingdom. Huh. Listen. That's no, and I think just to encourage our brothers to realize that not you know love is love. Whoever you love is who you love. But okay. realize to embrace all of us. Like even when you're walking down the street, like I'll have a brother walk down the street and won't even say hey, good morning. You know, or hold the door open,
right.
you know, and I'm not even talking about just being cavalier. I'm just saying like, acknowledge the fact that you matter. Mm-hmm. You matter. We are in the same, I'm not even going to say struggle. We are in the same walk.
Same discourse.
Yeah, we're in the same walk. Hmm. And in that, just acknowledge each other and be willing to understand what one is really going through because you're in the same skin that they're in. You know what they're going through.
Right. Now, somebody who has been a phenomenal example of black excellence in film, right, and theater, what is the state of our, the president would come out and say state of our union, what would you say is the state of our industry right now?
I think it proves itself to open itself to be better because we have more things available to us than in the past.
Hmm.
I think that now what we have to do is we have to capitalize on them.
Okay.
And we have to have more ownership of what it means to be able to put products out. And not just products that just resemble our faces, but products that are smart. Products that are foretelling for allowing us to move ahead, forge ahead, to be able to be on the precipice of what it means to move this pendulum forward.
Trend setting. And we have a new word of the day. Precipice? Precipice is a new word of the day. I'm not going to ask you to spell it.
No, please don't. That's what Alexa.
So you're saying we right now it would help us as a whole for the culture if we got back on the cutting edge,
yeah,
and put moving the needle forward.
Moving it forward.
Is there anything right now, any projects that you are peeping or have heard of or know of that you're like, this kind of does do that?
I think the whole Netflix game is that. I think the great thing about when I use that as an example is that they've taken television into a whole nother spectrum.
Hmm.
And to be able to allow for content to come through anybody's mobile app or anybody's position to be anywhere and mm-hmm, to be mm-hmm. able to watch anything
right.
like this, a podcast. Like mm-hmm. this is awesome. Like I think once we decide to really put ourselves in there in a stronger position, that there it is. I mean, I think today's technology is what is our friend. It's our friend.
I agree. And I've had different shows where I've been talking to comedians of different, from different classes or age ranges.
Yeah.
And there's like a distinct moment in time where like the OGs got passed because they didn't get on the internet.
Yeah, well.
And you gotta adapt. Like. It and makes no sense.
Them.
That's
I'm
like sitting in your house
I'm
and you're still watching up. A black and white TV. Why? We on flat screen, color screen.
And I'm catching up too because technology is that fast. It's quick. It's and it's easy to be. I'm 51 as of yesterday.
Get the fuck out of here! No goddamn 51 years old. You're not 51.
I can't wait to get the fuck out of here because I'm starving. But
it was your birthday yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
I'm gonna sing you happy birthday. I haven't
right
sang.
Now.
As we speak.
Right now. Okay. Well, let's...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Yes. You.
Happy birthday, dear Kalita.
Oh, come on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Captain. That's on, what's man. Up. But hey, yeah. 51, and I mean, goddamn, what you been drinking? Noni juice? Nigga, you look phenomenal.
I would love some noni juice. I'm hungry.
We're going to eat. We're going to eat.
No, you know, when you do what you love, listen, that's the fountain of youth. Period. Yeah.
That's incredible. So we were talking off camera, and I kind of led into, do you see something out there that is kind of doing that?
I think
a lot of people would say.
But it's not one project. It is a network. Like, we have to be.
I get that, but what I'm leading to is that a lot of people would say Black-ish is that thing now. And I know for a fact the Bernie Mac show provided a foundation, a structure, and was on the precipice at the time. So I'm not trying to hit like a hot keyword or nothing, because you were like, ooh, nigga. I'm definitely not that guy that hits you with booby traps during no podcast.
No. But no. The real talk is the Bernie Mac show actually opened the spectrum for what we know sitcom TV to be what it is right now. Single camera, no laugh tracks, no audience.
No, I'll hold right there. That's a very important fact, because there's a format of a sitcom. There's multi-camera, where that's like one set, crowd, they're laughing. So when you watch the show, you hear a laugh track, and like Al Bundy? Like, that was like, you're just looking at the living room and there's people laughing. Roseanne. Yeah.
But well, I work on a show now, in the cut, there's laugh tracks in there. And we don't shoot with laugh tracks. They're added post. In. Yeah, they're okay. Added in.
But Bernie Mac show was single camera.
Single camera.
There was no audience.
No audience.
And there was no laugh. The laugh track wasn't there. Wasn't there.
Added in. You were allowed to laugh on your own.
Right. But then after that, now it affects what Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Modern Family.
Yeah,
shows that have gotten continuous Emmys ever since then.
Right. And so I think it's worth saying, you know, like,
he fought for that.
Like, goddamn. That was one of the major fights Bernie Mac had with network to get done, because he saw creatively that this is how I want to do it, and we're going to do it this way.
Yeah.
And there was all kinds of pushback.
Yeah.
Then they did it with no faith in it. Then it worked, and then it changed the mold, like the NBA adding rules for certain players. Like, it changed the mold. But ain't nobody looking back and being like, this is why we do it like this.
Yes.
No. And that's how it always is. Nigga invented the light bulb, but y'all think Thomas Edison did it.
Yeah, listen. And the great thing is, to the adage of it all, is that what Bernie did was not only pick a television family, he actually picked a family. And in picking the family, we are forging ahead and creating things as a group.
Say that closer so they know what you're doing. You are forging ahead.
We're forging ahead, and we're creating projects as a group, for not only for ourselves, but for other people. We have not decided on the title or the name of our production company, but we are forming a production company to do so.
That's wonderful. And we is?
We is the children of the Bernie Mac show, which would be Camille Winbush, Jeremy Suarez, and Dee Dee Daryl Davis, or Daryl Dee Dee Davis, and myself.
Okay.
That's baby girl.
Yeah. So Daryl Davis, you take the D from each one. That's how you get the DD.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just connected for me. Listen, right now.
We're hungry.
Okay. I'm there now. So I usually rock for, I think this has been cracking. Like, I would love to have you back. I'm definitely going to feed you before.
Well, I'm coming back because you said you was going to help me out with my stand-up.
Yeah, we're going to get you right. Well,
with my conversations.
Unequivocally, we will make it so that conversations you would like to have and stories you would like to share are received by the masses much better, or, you know, you haven't done it yet. So just, we'll get you right.
I've done it.
Get the fuck out. Where'd you do stand up at?
Places.
Where?
With people.
Where? Where? What city?
Oh, I've done it in Los Angeles.
How many times have you been up?
So I was hosting Weber's. I brought Tiffany Haddish up several times. Well, I've hosted.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I host places. Totally.
But how many times would you say that was a comedy set? You've done that.
Several times. The Comedy Store. I've done David Arnold's classes, okay, where he makes you do
So you've done the Art of a Stand-Up Comic?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So you... So how long you been doing stand-up then?
Are
you still trying to say you haven't started yet?
What I haven't said is I don't have, like, you're getting ready to open up a comedy club, which is an awesome thing to do.
Thanks.
I think that's a mark. Mm-hmm. I think when you do something like that, you are bona fide.
Mm, okay.
Right? Would you for not sure. say that?
You're yeah, that's like a verification.
You've done a festival, so I've not done festivals. So to me, in my mind, I haven't hit those marks. Like, as an actor, if you've not, I don't know, if you haven't done theater, mm-hmm. if you haven't booked a pilot, right. if you haven't done a series, mm-hmm. if you haven't necessarily done a film, to me, you really can't say that you're an actor.
Those four things are key for you to say.
They're key.
Okay.
They're key. I mean,
Theater. I'm an actor. I haven't done
But that's
theater.
Getting paid as an actor. Like, you're a professional. Sure.
Okay.
But now for us to say and you quantify you, I mean, theater, a pilot, TV, a film, mm-hmm. for sure.
Outstanding. Whether you're award or recognized or not.
I mean, you're recognized in that medium, but that's to that group of people.
I think that's decent. Some people might be like, that's a little hard on them. Especially now with the social media stuff. Some of these people are literally actors because they film themselves at home. And they're acting at the house.
I don't really think that we should blur those lines. I think they should stay as defined as they are. Because it takes work and it takes time and it takes commitment. And it should not be blurred just because you could turn on a motherfucking camera from your phone. Mm-hmm. And you walking down the street and you think you're an actor. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
real. I feel the same way about comedy. Because there's a lot of people who say funny stuff.
Yeah, but that don't mean you can go toe-to-toe. Exactly. I could say funny stuff, but I would not quantify myself as a comedian just because I said some funny shit. Like, that's disrespectful. I wouldn't do that.
So you keep that in mind when you're throwing around the word actor and actress all willy-nilly. And comedy and comedian and comic all willy-nilly.
Or throwing the word willy-nilly around. Like,
that's the new word of the day. It was precipice, and we're going to switch over to willy-nilly. Because just as much as we are intelligent, we niggas too. And willy-nilly don't make no damn sense.
Listen.
But listen, so I want you to tell them where they can find you, what projects to look forward to seeing you on next.
I'm not going to be hard to find. Just look.
Just type in Kalita Smith. She pops up.
Bing, bang.
Thank you.
Hang up.